everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's December 9th, 2018 regular Othello City Council meeting. And if you would all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and the City Council for wisdom as we make our decisions tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Item 1D on our agenda is the roll call, and Councilwoman Quezada picked up a bug, and she asked to be excused tonight, so I'd entertain a motion to excuse her from our meeting tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 1E is citizen input. This is the opportunity citizens have to address the City Council with regard to any issue. If you'd like to be recognized, please raise your hand, and I'll have you step to the microphone, and you have up to 5 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to address the City Council? Is this regarding the zoning?
Yeah.
Okay, if that's regarding the zoning, do you mind waiting until we get to that segment?
No, that's...
Or do you want to do it now? Because
no,
you can do it either one.
Waiting. Either way, it's going to be brief, whenever you want to do it.
Okay, that's a little bit down on the agenda, Steve, if you want to come forward.
Oh, okay.
I'm Steve Sockman. I'm here representing myself and my wife, Jackie, and the Othello Port District. And I wrote a letter prior to the last meeting because I couldn't attend, and basically, my concerns are set forth in that letter, and I just want to reiterate them a little bit, make sure everybody understands what I am concerned about. My building's on Hemlock, and it, in the current zoning, is C1, and it allows, I can put a residential building in the whole building. At this time, I've already remodeled the bottom and the bottom half of the building into residential. I live in 2/3 of it, and we rent 1/3 of it. At the time I did that, about 3 years ago, I did it because we couldn't keep it commercially rented. And I think that's still a problem today, although I rent two offices up, and they are both rented at this time, and then I occupy the other with my law practice. My concern is the proposed C2 zoning won't allow me to convert the whole building to residential. And I think I may have to do that if I couldn't find, I don't have any plans to do it now. I like it the way it is, but if I want to retire or if I can't rent my other space, then I want that option. I had that option at the time we converted the bottom, and I've already designed for it with the, I was required to put in a sprinkler system that is in the bottom, in the residential. And the deal made with Gary at the fire department was if I ever went up and made that residential, I would have put the sprinklers in there. So my system is designed to accommodate that. I can go up from either end of the building, put the pipes in the ceiling and irrigate up there, or have fire protection. Under the C2 zoning that is proposed, it allows residential, but only in conjunction with commercial. So I am not non-conforming at this time. I conform to the new zone, but I wouldn't be able to And it's kind of, it's not really defined in there. Does that mean I got one little office and the rest can be residential? It just says no residential, no multifamily, no single family, no anything in the entire building. That's in both C2 and C3 zones. So it's also out at the port on their 71 acres property. That's C3. It's a little more lenient on the commercial that could go in, but it still doesn't allow any residential out there. And I think with the way this town is going, I think we need residential. There's no reason to discourage it. My building's a little bit unique because it has ground access on the bottom and on the top behind Umpqua. But it's, you know, so you can drive in on the bottom. It's kind of like a daylight basement. The property, the other affected property is Reidman's, who's up for sale now. He's trying to sell it, you know, the dentist. I don't know how he's affected. And the other property is Ace Hardware. They've got the lot. Those are, that block is not platted. I don't know why, but it wasn't. And way back when, I bought the whole half back lot that fronts on Hemlock. I built there. Reidman's next to me, and Ace is next on the east side. Ace could actually, somebody could buy that property and build the same building that I've got. It slopes. It could be a daylight basement building. After we got notice and I learned about this, I was concerned that if we adopt this zoning, that if I do want to go residential at some time, I couldn't, because there's no provisions in there to modify the zoning to allow it. I've since talked to Tovar is his name. He's with MNRC, he's a planner, represents a bunch of the cities on the west side, writes articles for MRSC. He tells me that my spot zoning concern is not a concern. I could probably come in, you know, say 5 years from now, if I wanted to do that, I could go to the council or the planning commission or something and get it done. Same with the port, because I had that same concern. I think that the port, who is now under the proposed zoning, will be prohibited from any residential. I think that should be dealt with now, because I think there's a stronger likelihood that somebody, whether it's the port or somebody else, will maybe want to put some type of residential out there. Their current offer to buy is kind of stalled. We don't know where that's going to go. But so far as the port's concerned, we're requesting, you know, that we look at that and make some provision for residential. The only residential that area of a large piece of property right now in the proposed zoning is Hampton's property between the cemetery and the school. And if it hasn't been looked at, it needs to be looked at, because I think there's underground Bureau of Reclamation drains under there that's going to make it very difficult to develop that, maybe for any kind of development. The only way you can go in there, you either got to divert or you got to get the Bureau to abandon them. The port had that problem on the 71 acres. The port believes they've got that remedied, because the port, the Bureau, those drains don't run, and they're not getting rid of any water, and so the port property should be okay. If that problem exists and you can't divert it around that piece of property, the Bureau's not going to let you build anything over the top. The solution for myself and for the port is to simply allow in C2 and C3 residential structures, either single family, multifamily, or whatever. A second possibility is in C2 and C3, where I'm at now, you can put a motel or a hotel, but in those sections, it's subject to another existing statute or ordinance regarding non-conforming uses. And that gives authority for the Planning Commission to make some changes and allow it. With, if they're concerned that the use that you want to put in there is not going to fit. The C2 zoning that runs now is, or in my building, is in a so-called transition zone because it's the back half. The front half fronts on Main. That's Umpqua, all those structures, that's commercial. We're transition because part of, as you go up Hemlock all the way to 14th, part of that's residential. There's already apartments, buildings in there. The port building is there, you know, departmental licensing. It's some of each. And I learned after our last meeting, in the commercial zone that we're in now, it allows the residential by incorporating C1, B1 or something, which in the general commercial zone, you can't build residential, but in ours, only on Hemlock, Cedar, 14th Avenue, and can't think of the one on the west. On those streets that front on those, which are in that transition zone, then they allow residential. And I was told the reason for that, and then I kind of remembered because I was here then, was there was a bunch of homeowners in those locations. They couldn't get financing because they were in a zone that didn't allow the C1 zone. So the council adopted a new ordinance that allowed for the residential so that people could get financing.
Is that right, Bob?
Okay. Yeah, Bob's the one that told me that. So my solutions are one, just, and I think the simplest, easiest is just to allow the residential multifamily, or allow it with some provision for the planning agent to restrict it or object to it if they see a problem. Or just leave the same language. Allow the residential in C2 and that's on Hemlock, Cedar, 14th, just the way it is. I want to caution the council, there's been no proposed change to non-conforming use, and I was worried about that. I'm not non-conforming, but I looked at that, and I hope somebody's looked at it for the city, because if there are non-conforming uses after you pass this change, what that ordinance says is they only can go for 10 years and then you got to move them out. You know, I don't know whether people want to do that, but when people are already built in there and then you tell them you got 10 years and then you got to do something to conform, which if I were non-conforming, that means what? I'd tear down my building. If that hasn't been looked at, somebody better look at that to see as these zones change, because it's not just map rezones, the text changes. There are different rights that people are going to be subject to. And overall, just my review is apparently the attempt is to clarify and the zoning by making it more specific and restrictive. And I think every time you try to do that where people have already built in accordance with the zoning, you're going to invite litigation. You're going to get cases where people are going to find out that they're not happy. Tovar tells me you've got another issue. Have they been given proper notice that this really restricts them? You know, we got a letter. That's when I first came to the council. I really came here thinking I was going to be told what was going on. I found out, you know, you've been working on it. John's been working on it 2 years, and your planning commission's tired of it. But I didn't know that. And, you know, I could tell they're a little reluctant to have to spend more time on this problem. But I think maybe somebody has to or should. The port's willing, would like to work to look at how it's zoned out there. It's a big piece of property. They think, you know, it sewer's already up on, what is it, concrete or cement street, and water's under 26. That can be developed commercial, residential, or whatever. And it doesn't make too much sense to me if there was a developer, for example, that wanted to buy it and build houses there. Do you want to restrict that, or you make the developer go in for a zoning change to accommodate it? It might be a good place for residential. It's just something to consider, and port's willing to work at that with you. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. So in response to...
Yeah, John.
I did read your letter, and
yeah.
I just talked to Ann briefly before starting the meeting tonight. The thing is that your bottom portion of your building does open to Hemlock.
Right.
So no issue there.
No, not none, existing.
None whatsoever. But the top of your building opens to a parking lot. It doesn't really open to the front. The frontage is not Main Street.
Depends what you want to call frontage. I would argue I've got frontage on Hemlock and frontage.
That's what I'm saying. It's unique.
Yeah, it is.
It's unique. And you're right. It is site specific to where you're at with your location. But that, you know, I mean, that's going to take a decision to you know, make you unique in what you can do with that property.
No, I think it would be all of C2. It's to the property behind Ace, an undeveloped lot. And I really haven't gone around and looked where all.
Yeah, right now they're
all
saying
property
right
now that fronts Cedar
for commercial. They've created it so that you could actually do residential on the first floor, commercial on the first floor and residential on the second floor.
Either way.
Yeah. Well, you're doing that now, but in order to get the top floor of your building, you know, made into residential, I think it's unique because there is no front. There's no street in front of your frontage property on the upper floor. It's a parking lot. It's privately owned land, either through you or the bank.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's both. We have an easement in. There's no alley. We share, you know, they use my parking. I use their parking.
But I think that if you went in, if you brought it in front of a hearing examiner, the hearing examiner would call it very unique and have a decision to be made with regard to that.
Wow.
We started out with these zoning laws not to make it more restrictive, but to make it more flexible. We've added residential classifications. We've added commercial classifications that would include more uses in the new zoning.
In general, I maybe would agree, except that in the existing zoning, as I read
you
through...
You wouldn't be able to do it in the existing zoning.
I understand what you're saying. You think because I don't front on the top floor with to Hemlock.
Right. You'd have to have a deck or something in the back that you could access the back part of your building from Hemlock.
I can. I've got a stairway up. I access.
Yeah. But you'd have to provide all your parking down below.
No. I didn't have to when I built the building, and I don't have to now. And my parking, I just looked at my permit. I've got, you know, and this was carefully looked at 3-4 years ago, because I only need 4 stalls downstairs, and I've got 8 or 10. And my upstairs, I've got plenty for commercial or residential. I think that's really the issue, you know, apart from the fact that it's my building. Why would anybody want to restrict an apartment building, all residential, at that location? I think that's counter to the concept that we don't have enough residential in Othello, and you're restricting it there. You're restricting it on Ace's lot.
I guess what I'm trying to say, Steve, is whether the old or new zoning, additional decision making would have to be made in order to allow that to become residential.
I don't think under the old, because they already, you know, we all that did that, and I didn't have any problem with the planner or anything getting the permit to do what I did, and everybody, and we planned, the fire department all agreed, we all planned for the eventual 100% apartment building there, because we all know now and knew then, commercial space doesn't rent. I'm not gonna, you know, I wouldn't convert the bottom back to commercial in today's economy.
Yeah.
I don't think that's backwards. And so why would you establish a C2, C3 zone in Othello that requires commercial? Nobody's gonna build that, because that is what rent. We need the housing. Then if we get the housing here, maybe we've got a chance of getting business in. But I think it unlikely the other way. I can't, you know, the guy on First Street's 5 years, he's got 2 out of 6 leased commercial spaces.
What you're saying, to summarize, is you want the city council, or your request is for the city council to allow residential and multi-family, in other words, expand our definition of C2.
Yeah, and C3, because the port is
to
C3.
To allow for these. Okay.
Yeah, so that's the request.
All right. Lucky for all of us, that decision isn't being made tonight.
Yeah, okay.
And we are going to continue our public hearing into January, and that'll allow us to spend a little bit more time. We want to get this right, too.
Yeah.
And so you brought up a whole range of issues, some of which I haven't considered. So we need to take a look at some of those issues, and we need to revisit this. And hopefully we have some good answers as we come back again in January. But tonight, certainly appreciate your pointing out those issues, also your concerns on behalf of yourself and the port. So.
Sure.
Okay.
I just got one more comment that's way off topic, because I'm here, I'm going to throw it out. My brainstorm, because I see the school out there now concerned where they're going to build it on Lee Road because of truck traffic. My idea is let's move it a mile further out to Foley, wrap it around onto McManaman, and open up all that to development of some type. I think that might be good. When you look at this town, we're up against 17 to the north, or to the east, 26 to the north, the hill and railroad to the west. You know, we should be trying to do some planning on where we're going to put a school or where we're going to put development. doesn't make sense to put a school next to all the truck traffic that has to come into McCain's. You know, it's the only way they got in there. But maybe if we move it a mile, and I know there's a lot of problems with that, and it's a lot of work, but
yeah,
maybe. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Is there any other citizen input tonight? All right, with that, I'll move to item two, which is the approval of our agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item three is a consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
No.
And now we'll move to our current business. And the first item of business is the oath of office. We have our city clerk, Tanya, is going to administer the oath of office to Mark Snyder and Angel Garza. You have something for them to sign later after the meeting?
Yes, after
the meeting. Okay. With that, next we'll move to item 4B, which is Volunteer Recognition Award. This is a community service award, citizenship award that was created to honor people who are making significant contribution to their community through their time, actions, talents, and dedication. They have demonstrated qualities of compassion and service through countless volunteer hours and various activities. The award today is being presented to two outstanding individuals who have dedicated their time and talents to our community. One of them has resided in Othello for a little over 35 years, and the other for about 15 years. The individuals currently participate in the Beautification Committee, the Fair Board, and Planning Commission. They also dedicate their extravagant decorating talents to this community by putting up their house as a display for various holiday events. Their home, known as the Seahawk House, has seen visitors from all over the U.S., as well as Seahawk players themselves. This community would definitely not be the same without them. Please help me in congratulating Mr. Roger and Sharon Enns. If you'd please come forward. And I would like to present this certificate and Community Service Award to Roger and Sharon Enns in recognition of your dedication, passion, and hard work to the City of Othello. Congratulations. So now, no, you don't get to leave. You guys get to say something now, okay?
We do enjoy doing what we do. We enjoy the people coming by our house. We enjoy decorating. passion maybe because in my younger years, being in a conservative religion, I wasn't allowed to decorate Christmas. We weren't allowed to celebrate. And now it's just one of the things I left that religion. It's just kind of like, there's a great celebration.
Thank you. Let's move to item 4C, which is a collective bargaining agreement with the Public Works Union, Local 760, or 280?
280.
And Police Chief Shank is going to walk us through that.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'll keep it short like Mr. Sackman did. We've negotiated a three-year agreement with our Public Works collective bargaining agreement. I think we've negotiated a good contract. We had council involvement on it, mayor involvement on it. And I think, you know, from what I've seen, the employees and the city feel like they negotiated a pretty good contract. Now, I will point out in this, Councilman Everett brought up that there's a flaw. I don't think it's fatal. We'll take it back and fix it. Article 5 with one of the, what we call the Janus decision, basically the Supreme Court's decided that you have a right not to be in the union. So we forgot, got it in the other two contracts we negotiated. We forgot to rewrite that section. I'll fix that. And I don't think the union would have a problem with that either. But basically, the major changes in this contract is we are continuing with the maintenance worker entry level that we've had, but we're adding an additional worker classification that would be maintenance worker / journeyman lead. And that would be some of the employees that are, you know, work supervising the treatment plants, the water, that kind of work, which we're finding very important. There's also some modest increases for that staff, as well as some increases that would focus on certifications that we think very much that we'll need in the future. So at this point, staff is recommending council approve the mayor signing this with modifications to Article 5.
Council? Yep. All right. I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve and authorize mayor to sign this agreement.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Chief. And now we're going to move to a budget amendment. This is something that just came up right after last week's budget hearing. And so, Spencer, you're going to talk about this new item.
Yeah, thank you so much. At our last meeting, we just passed a budget amendment that amended the budget in a number of our different funds. Since that meeting, this item came to light. This is an item I didn't know when we were going to make payment on this item, but turns out we need to make payment now. This is for the property purchased by Well 9, just south of Well 9, over on the other side of 17. That's the only change that this budget amendment does. It includes that purchase in our budget. With that, I can take any questions that you have, or the motion before you is to approve the ordinance amending the budget as discussed.
Council? I entertain a motion then.
I'll make the motion to approve the budget amendment.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 4E is the District Court Services Agreement between the City of Othello and Adams County. Posted these board documents on Friday. As you're aware, the city is in a contract with Adams County for municipal court services and for our district court. And the county provides prosecution, indigent defense, adjudication, adult probation, and collection of fines and forfeitures. And during the course of these negotiations in September, the city offered the county an additional $20,000 over the $92,000 the city currently pays for these services, and the county keeps all the collected fines and forfeitures. I'm just going to give you a little bit of history of what's led up to tonight. The county countered with an additional $92,000 over the $92,000 the city currently pays, along with a 4% annual increase in a three-year contract. The city said we would present it to the council, and on September 9th, the city council rejected the county's offer, directing staff to gather additional information about the cost allocation of how much the city cases are compared to the Othello District Court as a whole. This would assist the council in making a good decision as we were working towards an agreement. We contacted various county and state offices to obtain this information and created a breakdown of the revenues and expenses of the Othello District Court, which further justified our proposal for an additional $20,000 increase over the $92,000 we currently pay. And at that point, Councilman Lawless and Councilwoman Doro joined the negotiation team along with City Finance Officer Spencer Williams. The Mayor, Chief Shank, and Spencer spent a considerable amount of time to obtain information to develop a model for a formula that would justify our numbers and our offer to the county. The committee met with the county on October 9th. The county rejected the city's offer and arranged a meeting with the city on November 13th. The county agreed to provide cost allocations to justify their figures. The Mayor, Police Chief, and Council Committee had three union negotiation sessions early that same week. And taking into account the union negotiation commitments, also the November election, and wanting to give consideration for the county auditor because she was going to provide numbers to the city and to the board. And this was the week before the scheduled meeting, the mayor left messages with the clerk of the board of on November 7th, 8th, and 12th that we would need to reschedule and offer dates. Meetings were scheduled all the time, or rescheduled all the time. However, the county responded with an email stating the board by consensus opined that attempting to reschedule a meeting at this time would not bring about productive results. So instead of rescheduling, the county responded last week with the enclosed demand letter, and the offer is an increase from their previous offer rejected by the council, by the city council. So the Othello District Court and related costs have increased over 26% since 2017 without a corresponding increase in caseload. Previously, the committee agreed we should hire a probation officer, but the city council did not approve the expenditure during the budget process. The county unilaterally created that position and funded it and hired someone last year. In every negotiation session, the city has continually maintained our desire to pay our fair share. So now, staff is asking City Council for direction on this negotiation with the county. Staff sees the following options. One, do you want to work towards a resolution? Or B, do you want to terminate and start our own court? So if we want to work towards a resolution, we either accept their offer of an additional $92,000 and an increase over their previous offer to 7% increase per year. Do we want to counter that offer? Or do we want to request a second time the calculations and support and information that justifies their demand? I will make note that the county gave us until the 20th of December to accept their offer. Otherwise, they were going to give us a year to put together our own court, and then they were going to terminate their services to us. I think I'm going to state for the record that I don't think it's in anybody's best interest to separate the court because it'll cost us more money to operate a court here at City Hall, a municipal court, and it'll cost the county more money as well. So the citizens would lose. However, I think the council, you guys have read this letter from the county commissioners, and I guess I, myself and Chief Shank, did I leave anything out, Chief? Okay, so City Council, what do you want to do?
Well, I think that we should continue to work towards a resolution, but nothing makes sense other than to request a second time for the calculations and support, because you need to have justification for the costs.
Okay.
I agree with that.
I do also.
Seems to me like they're not going to budge, though. That's what it sounds like. So they're wanting $184,000 plus 4% increase for the next 3 years?
Seven.
It says four right here.
Three.
Well, they want a 7% increase 7%. For the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep the fines and forfeitures, which are between $120,000 and $140,000 a year.
So they're looking for about $400,000 a year?
At least $300,000.
And they're not willing to support that with actual numbers.
I don't know.
We never got around to
getting them. We never got any actual numbers. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense to pay anything until we know what it actually costs.
Just because we couldn't make the meeting doesn't necessitate putting us in this position, as far as I'm concerned. We should have been able to reschedule another meeting and come to a resolution on the numbers.
Yeah, because it says their cost has increased 26%, not 100%. So why are they doubling it?
Well, the 26% is because they hired a probation officer.
That doesn't include the probation officer.
And they're not giving any information for the justification that 26%. They're just saying this is what it costs us.
Well, they're not giving any information justifying the $96,000 either. There's never been any supporting calculations, information, you know, other than what's off the top of somebody's head.
So we asked them for information?
We did. And yeah, we would have probably been able to get some of that information in our meeting, but because of the circumstances that with the schedule that we had, I guess we didn't have the meeting.
So we didn't make time for them, or they didn't make time for us?
We asked to reschedule the meeting, and they said no.
Okay.
Now they want any future meeting they want in Ritzville.
I don't care. I'll drive up there.
During their regular meetings. Which I don't understand either, because they also come here once a week to have meetings. Why can't they have it here?
Well, all of the
it's playground
and
addicts.
Support should be public information. We can also request that way, go that route.
Well, have we gotten any information?
This letter is all we got.
But we were seeking to get information from the county assessor, right?
For the county auditor.
Right. Is any of that been forthcoming?
They haven't given it to us.
So it says here 4% on top of the 92. That's why you're confusing me with 7%.
Well, that was the original offer, and the council rejected that back in September.
Came back with 7.
And then they came back with basically the same offer, only they increased it to 7%. And 7% of 200 or of 180,000 or 200,000 adds up quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say pretty much our only option at this point is to get the. We've got to get the calculations and support to support to justify that information.
I agree.
Okay.
So, AC.
Yep.
Okay. AC. I'll report back.
And if we have to go up there, then we'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have to be able to justify. That's why we're here, to justify what we're spending in the city's money.
Yeah.
It's a public court, right? Yeah. So yeah. That information should be known.
Okay. All right. I think we have our direction. Chief, are you okay? All right. Let's move to item 4F, which is the cell tower request to build on unplatted property, and that is a resolution for a building permit and a covenant. Anne?
So earlier this year, AT&T applied for a conditional use permit for a cell tower. They worked with the Pilgrim Lutheran Church. We camouflaged as a cell tower. The hearing examiner approved that conditional use permit, something that was discussed at that time but wasn't ready to be acted on yet is that in order to issue a building permit on unplatted property, which this is, the city council has to give the approval for that, for issuing that building permit. So the church has been at that site since the 1950s. Wasn't platted then, it wasn't required to be platted then. So this is something that has come after the church was built, even after the church was rebuilt, after it burned down in the 80s. The considerations that the code gives you when you're looking at whether to issue a building permit is adequate water and sewer, lot size, street, sidewalk, curb improvements. So there is adequate sewer and water to that area. It's all built out. The lot size, more than 2 acres, is perfectly adequate for what's being proposed. The street, sidewalks, curbs are in existence. There are some ADA ramps that don't meet current standards. You may be aware ADA kind of changes and refines over time. So those don't meet the current standards, but this cell tower is not affecting access. It's not going to draw more people to the site. It's not changing anything about that. And so staff is recommending that a covenant be attached to the property for those ADA improvements at some point in the future, but that otherwise the building permit would be, you'd approve the resolution to issue that building permit.
Whose responsibility is it to fix the ADAs after we approve that? Is that the owner or?
The property.
Property owner?
Yeah, so the church.
Okay. So does the, is it the company that's putting up the cell tower, do they own the property?
No, they would be, they're going to be leasing a 30 by 30 piece of property where the tower and the fenced compound that it sits in.
From the church?
From the church.
And so we're platting the church's property?
They're requesting to build without having to plat. Because that whole property is not platted.
So there's been no businesses built here since 2007 that hasn't been required to be platted, right?
It hasn't been required. I don't know that if the properties were all platted. I don't know that fast planners have looked at that.
But all the businesses, at least since you've been here, have had to be, like the McCain's.
McCain, the ice cream store.
Restaurant. Yeah.
Right, but so, those were all big projects. This is kind of a little project. So there's also that, kind of the scale of the project to the platting process.
So to my understanding, all these other businesses are in the process of platting, right? Which is the Rica Frutaleta, Pick a Pop, well they're done already, Sage Hill Vet.
Sagehill, that's done.
Yeah, I've done.
Process. Schools, not all. Most of they're not platted. They're in the process on Wajitas.
But all these are in the process, right? Sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it a really large expense? What would it cost him to plat that property out there?
Probably in the $10,000 to $30,000 range would be my guess.
How long does it take?
Could probably do it in 3 to 6 months.
So what the council has is a resolution for a building permit and covenant. Council?
The reason that you're, correct me if my assumption is wrong, but the reason that you're recommending that we go ahead and approve this without platting is because it's technically not the church, it's just a small piece of property that they're going to
right.
build a cell tower disguised as a
right. If it were a new
church
building that were being proposed,
yeah.
I would have a different recommendation.
Okay.
They can remodel it, they don't have to apply it. Only if it's a new building.
What is the covenant being attached under the conditional use?
It's just to upgrade their ADA.
So when they do further work or what? I mean,
I haven't drafted it yet. I think I would probably leave it open-ended that just when the city calls it in.
That they make it ADA accessible?
Right. There might be, say there was a project that was doing, you know, all the ramps on 7th Avenue or something, then they could participate in that project but only pay for their share.
Okay. They're still on the hook for that.
Yeah.
And they were good with that?
So this just came up today.
Okay.
I've been dealing with the cell phone company. I've not been dealing with the church on it at all.
Okay.
Does this fall under a utility of some sort?
I'm sorry?
Does it fall under a utility? Like when we did the Avista property on 7th and Lee, there was something about it being a utility for that substation?
I don't remember. I remember the project, but I don't remember.
He was also purchasing the property, weren't they?
Well, they're building a substation.
Yeah.
Do we have to send a letter out to the property owners around it? It's going to be 100-foot high, right?
So that already happened with the conditional use permit.
Okay.
So there was a public hearing. People were notified within 350 feet. It was posted on the site. All that already happened.
Good. I'm okay with it.
I don't have a problem.
Okay. Entertain a motion then to approve this resolution and for the building permit and the covenant.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Let's move to item 4G, which is our irrigation ordinance. We have an amendment to the ordinance. Yeah.
So in about June, we adopted an ordinance for irrigation water, and Code Publishing found a few errors in that when they went to codify it. So that's what I'm bringing to you, was just to correct those errors. They're really more formatting issues. When we were working on the draft of the ordinance had been prepared. I forget if Varela had started it. We took it over, we worked with the city attorney. And so all of the sections were in the ordinance, but in the heading part where it lists like the kind of like table of contents, not all of them were there. So that's the first thing, was just adding those to that beginning section. And then in the 050 section, it just, that A was worded a little bit awkwardly. So that's just kind of like fixing that wording. And then in 12-44-100. When we'd been discussing it, we were kind of talking about options for when people would have to participate. And we settled on 1,000 feet, but the ordinance didn't get updated to address that. So it had both things in there. And then in 100C, it was referencing a subsection C that doesn't exist. It was supposed to be B. So this is just really kind of a housekeeping thing to clean up the ordinance. It doesn't change the meaning of the ordinance. It just fixes some of the formatting errors.
Council?
I'll make a motion to approve the ordinance amending OMC 12.44 irrigation water.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Any further discussion? All those in favor of the ordinance amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. And now we're going to move to continue the public hearing November 18th. Was it November 18th?
25th.
Okay, so I'll open the public hearing at 7:27 p.m. The continued public hearing, and Ann, you have a staff report.
Okay, so first off, I'm going to, when we're done, ask you to continue this into January. there will still be some issues to be resolved. The two things I was hoping to make some progress on tonight were the residential and commercial zones, as Mr. Stockman talked about earlier. And then the other issue just brought to my attention is the regulations for cargo containers. I was asked why there's a limit on the timeline that someone could have a cargo container. And my answer was just that that was brought forward from the existing code. All those conditions that are in the new code are in the existing code now. So if you wanted to talk about that, if that was, you know, if that's the way you want it to be, you could make the argument that once somebody goes to the effort of painting the container and putting it behind their building, should they be allowed to have it? Just keep it there. The other side of the argument is, should they just build a building rather than use a container? So I wanted some feedback on that one. Do you want me to talk about the residential thing? I feel like I've talked about it a lot. I don't know if I have anything more to say.
Council? Doesn't appear.
Okay.
What was brought up, however, by Steve Sockman was the wanting us to expand our definition or our allowing in a C2 and 3 zone to convert all to residential or multifamily. And I know John had an exchange here. Was there anyone else that wanted to contribute to the conversation, or do you want to continue to have staff and yourselves do some more research and be prepared to come back and discuss it in January, or do you want to discuss it tonight? Or are you prepared to discuss it tonight?
I think I would, and I hate to do this to you guys, but I would kind of like to hear if planning has any possible outlook on this, if there's anything that could be done to accommodate some of these situations that we're looking at here. I know that there's a meeting next week, correct?
There's a Planning Commission meeting next week, although this isn't scheduled on the agenda, but we could
just
discuss it again.
Yeah. And I know they're that, you know, but I my concern is that I hate to go just unilaterally change what they've recommended to us. I would like to hear if there's any other ideas as far as what we could do to accommodate some of these other situations.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So anyone I would else? Say then talk about it in January.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else here on the council have any comments?
On the examples Anne included examples of cities that allow it in mixed use zones. What is CBD?
Central Business District. Okay. So your traditional downtown.
Okay. So for us, that runs quite a ways. Central Business District.
First thing.
Yeah.
Yes, I would argue that Central Business District. In Othello is not the same as in a lot of cities where you have, you know, true downtown buildings up to the sidewalk, no parking, or any parking is behind the buildings. You know, you think of a big city downtown. Yeah. Rather than we have more of like an auto-oriented business district here.
Did you guys all see that? I mean, there's quite a few small cities that are doing it. That are allowing it.
Which I believe.
So
we had a proposed downtown, and that was one of the things we were considering in the zoning, correct? Is that we have that little area.
Right,
along
right.
First and Main. Where the buildings are up to the sidewalk.
Right.
Walk
in. And so, I mean, the question is, so the code as written would allow residential, but just basically not at the street frontage in a commercial zone. And so that's the question of, should it be allowed at the street frontage everywhere in commercial zones, nowhere in commercial zones? One option is you let it be built, or let it be used as residential, but it's built to a commercial standard, so the ceiling is on the first floor is higher, you have more windows, or you restrict it to certain locations where it has to be commercial on the first floor, but the rest of the commercial zones could have residential on the street frontage. And cities across the state do it all of those ways. So there's not really a consensus of the best way to do it. Yes. It's more what fits your city.
Okay. With that, I'm going to open up the public comment period for this continued public hearing. Is there anyone here who wants to speak either in support, against, or neutral to this proposal? All right. Hearing none, I will then conclude tonight's portion and continue this public hearing to the January 6th, I believe.
Whichever one you appoint to.
Yeah, January 6th meeting.
Are we going to continue on with the storage containers then?
On the what again, Corey?
Or the storage containers.
We're going to continue it then on the storage containers, yes. Okay. So with that, I'm going to call an executive session, item 4I. It'll be for 10 minutes. It's to discuss personnel, which means that the people who are present here tonight need to adjourn to the lobby. We're going to take 10 minutes, and then we will resume our meeting. And I don't anticipate any formal announcements. All right. We're back in session at 7:51, and I'd like to move to item 4J on our current business, and that is recognition of Councilman Eugene Bain. And so I'd like to call Eugene forward. Serve with you on the City Council. And the City of Othello would like to recognize Eugene for his significant efforts to improve our community, serving on the City Council and the people of Othello for the past 8 years. We want to thank you for your dedication, your commitment, and your timeless effort you've contributed to the city. One of the many decisions Eugene was a part of was changing the ordinance to allow razors and four-wheelers on the city streets. And we also want to thank Eugene for serving on various committees, which includes the Adams County Fire District Committee, the Auditing and Finance Committee, the Code Enforcement Committee, the OHS Scholarship Committee, and the Solid Waste Committee. And I'd like to thank you, Gene, with this plaque that says Eugene Bain, in recognition of your commitment to the citizens of the City of Othello, Councilman from January 2012 through December of 2019. I'd like to present this as a small token of our affection and esteem. Thank you, Eugene. Gene, you have the floor.
Oh, gee.
Yep.
I just want to say it's been an honor and a pleasure. I really enjoyed and felt like I needed to put back to the community. And I hope that I'll have the opportunity to do something like this again for the city. here and put it back in this community. And I want to thank all of the council people that I have worked with and spent time with. All that great crew up there, you guys and gals, are really good at what they do and the decisions that they make. And thank you all for the opportunity.
I'd like to invite the public to stay. We just have a couple more items, and then we have some ice cream cake and punch that we'd like to have a reception for Eugene immediately following the meeting. Our next item is unfinished business. Any unfinished business to come before the council tonight? Is there any new business to come before the council tonight? Having no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn our meeting tonight at 7:55 p.m.